Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 2 Kings, to chapter 19 and to verse 14, please. 2 Kings 19 and to verse 14 for our text. Second Kings 19 and the verse 14. And Hezekiah received a letter at the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubim, thou art the God even thou alone of all the kingdom of the earth, and thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear, open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which have sent me to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. They were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood, stone. Therefore have they destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of the hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. We'll just bow our heads and ask for the Lord's help again, even tonight. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for thy precious word. We thank you, Lord, tonight it's a living word. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt take it, and thou wilt use it even here this night. We pray that there be a word for each one, saint and sinner alike. Lord, challenge us as afresh, Lord. We pray for those that, Lord, are not here and maybe not saved. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt speak to them. Lord, show them their need of thee. Show them, Lord, that they must be born again. Oh, Lord, come. Lord, take away the nerves and the fears. And pray, Lord, that thou wilt help us to open up the word tonight. In the precious name we ask it. Amen. Tonight, just for a short time, that want us to look at even this godly king, Hezekiah. And I trust that even the Lord would challenge your hearts, even as the Lord has challenged mine, as I have sought to look at even this passage, and as I believe, well, this is what the Lord would have us even to look at. As we read of the different kings of Judah, we can see a pattern right throughout these chapters. There were those who loved the Lord and did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and then there were those who did not. There were those who did evil in the eyes of the Lord. We read there in chapter 13, if Jehoahaz, the son of Hazaiah, the king of Judah, he began to reign, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Read in chapter 14 of Ahaziah begin of chapter 14 of Mahazai. He began to reign, and he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. But read in the verse that though he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, yet he did not take away the high places. The people still did sacrifice and burned incense even on the high places. Even though some of these kings followed the Lord, and it says there in God's word that they followed the Lord, yet they did not follow the Lord fully, and they did not follow the Lord even as they ought to have. Yet we can see when we come to chapter 18, we read in the verse 1 of chapter 18 of this godly king, Hezekiah, we see a man there who loved the Lord, a man who was determined to clear out all of the idolatry, to get all of the people of that land also to follow even his God. All of those that were against the Lord, he cleared them out. He was not afraid to upset anyone in the land by his faith in God. He was not afraid to take a stand for God, even though it would cost him maybe friends or whatever. He was prepared to clear out all the sin and idolatry that there was at that time. He wasn't concerned about what he could do. He wasn't concerned about, all his concern was that which he would do would be right in the eyes of the Lord. And he put the Lord first in his life. See how it says there in the verse 5, so that after him there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. You know, friends, tonight, what a testimony this man Hezekiah had. What a testimony. What an example even to you and I tonight, that we would root out all of the sins that are in our lives, that we would deal with anything that would hinder the blessing of God in our lives, and that we would put the Lord first. And just as Hezekiah did, and we can see how God blessed Hezekiah, and we also, if we seek to live our lives right for God, we will know even God's blessing. But you know, yet just because we live our lives for God and put Him first, it does not mean that we will not have problems or difficulties or troubles in this life. Or it does not mean that we will not have to pass through the valley. God does not say that in His Word. And we will see here tonight that Hezekiah had problems. But you know, he had problems, yet the Lord carried him through each and every one of them. When someone gets saved, God does not say, now all will be well, life will be easy, or that we will dwell upon the mountaintop away from the valley experiences. No, God does not promise this. But what the Lord does say, He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That though you have to go through the valleys and through the deep waters, they will not overflow thee. God has promised us, each and every one of us here tonight that's saved, that we will never be alone. We read here in the chapter 18 and the verse 9 of how the kingdom of Assyria has now grown considerably in the chapter before. We see this wicked, evil king demanding a tribute even from all the people of God and from the cities of God's own people. Those that wouldn't pay this tribute, he would come up against them with his mighty army and besiege that city until his army would have time to knock down the walls and enter in. This army was very, very good at coming upon the cities and staying there, should it be weeks, months, and years, until they would eventually enter in. And when they would enter those cities' walls, they would torture, murder, and cut off all of those people. And because some of the cities of that time, when they heard what was happening, they paid the tribute. They surrendered. And they just surrendered their city to this king. They threw open the gates of the city in the hope that they would be treated mercifully. But this wicked king of Assyria, he would take all of God's people out of that city and make them slaves back even in his own country. And as the cities fell one after another and gave up for fear of this evil, wicked king, fear spread upon the people, and the people are afraid of what he would do to them and also to their families. You might say to me tonight, why did God allow this to happen? Why did God allow such a thing to happen even to his people in these different cities? You know, we see the answer there in the verse 12 of chapter 18. It says there, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant and all that Moses, a servant of the Lord, had commanded, God's people had turned away from following them. And now God was judging them for their sin. Fear had now spread to Jerusalem. The king of Syria demanded Hezekiah to pay the tribute, or he would come and destroy the city. Isaiah was a prophet in the city at that time. And Hezekiah would have turned to Isaiah to seek a message and a word from the Lord back in those days. And Hezekiah tried to guide Isaiah tried to guide Hezekiah and keep him his mind and his thoughts and all turned to the word of God. The king of Assyria sent letters to Hezekiah demanding that he surrender Jerusalem unto him, or even that he would come and destroy it and all that were in that city. You know, that wicked, evil king, he mocked the God of Hezekiah. He laughed at Hezekiah for depending upon God to deliver him out of the hand of the Assyrians. But you know, many of the people's hearts melted in Jerusalem at that time. They were sore afraid of their lives, and they saw this great Assyrian army marching closer and closer all the time. King Hezekiah met with his advisors and had tried to, some of them tried to tell him it would be better to surrender and give the city up, whereas others, like Isaiah, said, God will deliver us. Wait, God will deliver us. Do not panic. Wait and see how God will undertake for us. But you know, Hezekiah, in a moment, he panicked and he compromised. He gathered up all the money and the gold that he could find even in the city, even took some of the gold off the temple of God at that time, and he sent it to the king of Assyria in the hope that somehow this would appease him and he would go away and leave Jerusalem all alone. You know, friends, tonight compromise can happen so easily. Just in a minute we can give in and let the Lord down. And you know, it doesn't start intentionally. It starts in a very small matter. If we drop our standards of faith just a little, and then a little bit more, before we know, we are on the slippery slope and we have let the Lord down. If you know, if you were to take a huge ship that you see going up and down the lock there, and if you were to get in below it and put a small hole in the bow of that ship, and the water started to leak in little by little, you know, if that was went on totally unnoticed, maybe it would be all right for a day, a week, a month. But after a time, you can be sure that ship will sink. All from a very small hole. You know, so it is with compromising our faith in God. It starts as a very small thing, and then a little more, and a little more. Before we know, we have failed the Lord. Maybe we have been asked to go somewhere, and you know, we know in our hearts that it's somewhere that we shouldn't be. But we go this once just with the intention of saying, well, I'll go this once and that's it, over and done with. And I've no intention of even going again. But then when we go once, it makes it easier to go the next time. And then before long, we see nothing wrong with going to that place at all. You know, maybe it is that we miss one prayer meeting. And then we say to ourselves, well, there's nothing wrong with taking one off now and again. And then before long, you know what happens? You know, we just go now and then. We've gone from being firm in our faith and looking to the Lord and seeking to do what's right. And we gradually, step by step, we feel the Lord and we let him down. This example of how Hezekiah compromised, it's in God's word for a reason. It's there for us to look at and take heed from, to make us see what can happen even to such a godly man as Hezekiah. 1 Corinthians 10 and the verse 12 tells us, let him who thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Oh, let us take heed and let us watch lest we would let the Lord down. Let us watch and pray when the old devil uses things like the wicked king of Assyria to make us compromise, that we stand fast. We need to stand fast for our faith. You know, even as we look around us, we see many other denominations and how they have compromised from the truth of God. They didn't fall away in a day or a week or a month or even a year. Friends, it was just little by little, a little bit and a little bit more, and the preaching of God's word a little bit less and a little bit more of something else. And then before you know it, there's a total slipping away from God. You know, let's pray even in our churches that we will stand fast and stand firm and will watch against compromise. Compromise in this church, in our church in Cumber and Port of Oge, and in our denomination, that we will stand firm upon the word of God. The king of Assyria sent three of his generals to Jerusalem to speak to the people. Read there his message in chapter 18 and the verse 29. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, and then eat every man of his own vine, and every man of his own fig tree, and drink every one the waters of his cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive oil and of honey, that you may live and not die. And hearken not to Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver you. You know, Hezekiah had made a gift. He had compromised and he had made this gift to the king of Assyria. But you know, these Assyrians were not going away. They were not content with that. These Assyrians wanted to come and take this city of Jerusalem. Read in chapter 19 there in the verse 1. And it came to pass when Hezekiah heard it that he rent his clothes, and he covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. Hezekiah now had saw what he had done wrong. Hezekiah had repented of his compromise. What he knew what he had done, and no matter what he would do, would never appease even this wicked, evil king. What did he do? He went to the house of the Lord. He sought the Lord's face. He asked the Lord to forgive him. He was now fully trusting in the Lord, and he knew his God was in control. Read there in the verse 6 and 7 of chapter 19. 6 of 7 of chapter 19. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumour, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. As Hezekiah prayed to the Lord and asked him to forgive him, the Lord spoke to Isaiah, and Isaiah in turn told Hezekiah, God's going to deal with this man. Be not afraid. This was God's promise to his people. Don't be afraid. God is in control. The king of Assyria sent another letter to Jerusalem, warning God's people what the Syrians had done to the other tribes of Judah, and that the people of Jerusalem were about to face even the very same fate. You can imagine being one of the people in the city of Jerusalem at that time. All around, all you could see was soldiers. And these soldiers were well prepared. They had all the armor and all of the battering rams and all of the things that they needed to take this city down. You know, those people's hearts would have been heavy. They were afraid of what would happen. This was now a national disaster for the city of Jerusalem. All of these people were facing certain death. Physically, there was no way out. They were totally surrounded, nowhere to go. But you know, Hezekiah, he read that letter from the king of Assyria. What was he to do now? Where was he to go? What was going to be his plan of action? Did he gather up his advisors and talk to them? Did he go to his friends and say, what do you think I should do, and discuss the matter with them? Did he run up and down the street shouting and screaming, we're finished, we're finished? No. We read the answer there in the verse 19, or verse 14 of chapter 19. And it says there, and Hezekiah received a letter at the hand of his messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. You know, there was the answer. Where can we go but to the Lord? He is the one that can meet us at the very point of our need. He is the one that we must go to first and foremost in every situation. And you know how often I confess I have done it. We fail the Lord in this matter. When trouble and problems and fears and difficulties come our way, what do we do? What's the first thing we do? We lift our phone. Must talk to this one. Must talk to that one. I have to ask such and such even what they think. How should I deal with this situation? How will I cope? We do not go to the Lord. We talk everything over with everyone else, and then we go to the Lord. You know, what did Hezekiah do? He took the very letter that is given to him by the king of Assyria, and he set it down in front of him in the Lord's house before the Lord. He wanted to make it so clear to the Lord exactly what his problem was. What an example even to us tonight. When we come to the Lord in prayer, we need to lay the whole matter out before him. Lay the whole situation out before our Heavenly Father. Even though the Lord already knew what was in this letter, the Lord knew all about it. Hezekiah laid it out before God. He said, look at that. See it. Can you see exactly the problem and the danger and the situation we are in? We have the prayer of Hezekiah there in the verse 15. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubim, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Hezekiah adored the God whom the king of Assyria blasphemed. He calls our Lord the God of Israel, because Israel was his people, and gives the glory to the Lord God in heaven. Read in the verse 16, Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which have sent him to reproach the living God. Lord, hear the matter. See this letter before me. This king, evil, wicked king, wants to reproach thee. Then we see the answer of a truth. Lord, the kings of Assyria, in verse 17, have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. They were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood, stone. Therefore have they destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the God, even thou only. Now therefore, save us. This was a very powerful prayer in a great time of need. A great example even to you and I how we ought to pray. He gives God all the glory first. Then he brings his petitions even to the Lord. And then he prays that through God answering this prayer, that all of the earth may know that our God is the one true living God. Psalm 55 in the verse 22 tells us, cast our burdens before the Lord, and he will sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. As we have said at the start of the message, the Lord does not promise that we will not have problems or difficulties to face in our walk with the Lord. But what he does promise is that he will carry us through. We need to take heed and follow the example even of godly Hezekiah. We need to go straight to the Lord with our fears, our worries, and our problems, and pray that he will carry us through. Let's give the Lord the proper place in our lives, first and foremost, and he will hear and answer. You know, as I was reading this and this letter that was sent to Hezekiah, and how this godly king dealt with this situation, you know, I was challenged. How often when someone or something comes to us, and it's a letter of trouble, something maybe that's really hurtful to us, and you know what happens so easily in this world now with modern technology, someone texts us or someone emails us with something very hurtful, maybe something that's not even true. People can send these things in seconds. They can be very offensive and maybe sent as again, and it mightn't even be the right in the first place what we're being accused of. But you know, what do? We fight straight back. We send something back. I'm not going to take that. I'm not going to take that from him or her. I'm not going to sit here and let him or her come off saying something like that about me. We want to get our own back. We're not going to let them off just so easily. But you know, sadly, how many a friendship, how many a family has been broken up over a war of words that started over something very, very simple, like a letter or a text or an email. You know, what do? We need to take it straight back to the Lord. We need to lay that out before the Lord and leave it there and seek his face as to how we should respond, even if we should respond at all. Maybe it'd be far better to take it to the Lord and pray. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord says, do nothing. Forget about it. Let it go. How many relationships and families would be saved even from these troubles? Happens all the time. Happens every day. Families and members don't speak for years and years and years all over something simple. We need to take these things to the Lord first and foremost. Proverbs chapter 3, you all know that well-known verse, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Whatever suddenly comes to us, let's bring it to the Lord. Let's bring it to the Lord. Let's look to him and see what the Lord even would have us to do about it. Read there in the verse 20 of chapter 19. Then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. I have heard. What does God now say to Hezekiah in this national emergency, in this very serious situation? How does the King of Kings and Lord of Lords respond? We see it there. The Lord says to Hezekiah through Isaiah, God says, I have heard. I have heard it. I know all about it, Hezekiah. I have heard your prayers. You know, I don't doubt for one minute that Hezekiah, when he prayed that prayer, he knew God was listening. But for Isaiah to turn around and God to put that in Isaiah's heart and say, I've heard. That was the thing finished. It was done. God knew all about it. And God was in control. And God was going to sort it out. You know, read there in the verse 33 and the verse 34 of the same chapter what happened. Verse 33, by the way he came, this is Isaiah's words, by the way he came, by the same shall he return. He shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Look there at the verse 35, 6 and 7. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshipping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Shehazer, his son, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Aramina. And Ahishadon, his son, reigned in his stead. Where was the mighty king of the Assyrians now? Where was this king that mocked the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Dead. Finished. His army was defeated too. The Lord sent an angel out that night and cut them down. And they were all as dead corpses. You know, God dealt with them. He cut them down and he delivered his people. 2 Chronicles 20. And the verse 15 tells us, be not afraid or dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. God defeated the enemy, by his power and by himself. He was to get all of the glory. And he wanted his people to see that it was he alone delivered them. You know, child of God, tonight, tomorrow, next week, the battle is not ours, it's God's. The battle is the Lord's. Whatever news we receive, whatever knock comes to our door, whatever happens, the battle is the Lord's. It's not ours to fight. God and God alone will fight for us, and he will see us through. Isaiah 42 and the verse 2 tells us, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And though the waters, they shall not overflow thee. When they walk us through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. The same God that delivered Hezekiah from the mighty Assyrian army that was about to destroy God's people will deliver you and I even tonight. You know, though Hezekiah started his reign well for God, and he did a great work of reformation in the land at that time, and then he compromised and he let the Lord down, yet he repented even of this sin. And once again he sought the Lord. And the Lord used him in a mighty way, and he was faithful through the trial. You know, maybe tonight there's someone here, and when you get saved, you walked with the Lord. You sought to serve him. You got involved in God's work. You did a great work for him. You lived your life for the Lord. But then maybe a time came in your life, and you failed the Lord, and you let him down, maybe even over something very, very simple, and your heart is cold, and cold for the Lord. You have lost the joy that you once had. You do not have that sweet fellowship with your Savior that you once had back when you got saved. But you know, tonight, friend, there's mercy with the Lord. He wants you to come back to him, back to your first love. Just as Hezekiah came and asked the Lord to forgive him for letting him down, the Lord wants you to do even the very same tonight. He wants you to come and seek his face once again. And know that sweet fellowship with the Lord. You know, is this a picture of you tonight? Come and repent and seek the Lord again and get back even to your first love. You know, and also tonight, maybe you're here and as yet you're not saved. You do not know the God of Hezekiah as your heavenly Father. You have not had your sins forgiven. You do not know what it is to seek the Lord when trials or troubles come your way. You go through this life with your fingers crossed and hoping even for the best, thinking that somehow or other you will get through. Maybe you're like the king of Assyria. You say, who is this God that I should bow down and worship him? Friend, tonight, look at the end of that great king. He boasted of who he was and what he could do and what he would do with God's people. Friend, what did the Lord do? The Lord cut him off. Don't be like this foolish king. There's a God in heaven. And one day you and I will have to stand before him. Maybe sooner, maybe later. But make no mistake, one day each one of us will stand before him, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And it will not matter on that day how much good we have done and how little bad we have done. All that will matter is that God says all that will matter in that day is whether we're saved or whether we're lost. The Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that sin, if it's not dealt with, will take you to a lost eternity in hell. And all that will matter on that day is that we need to be saved. Saved. We need to have our sins forgiven. And you'll thank the Lord tonight. God has made a way back to himself through the Lord Jesus Christ, through his finished work upon the cross of Calvary, where he suffered, bled, and died for you and I, that through his precious blood we might be saved. Oh, I trust tonight, if you're here and you're not saved, that even this very night that you would come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just imagine if you were saved that you would be able to cope with all the troubles and difficulties. You wouldn't be on your own as you are now. That you would have the Lord with you to help you and even to carry you through. You know, that was not all that happened to this man, Hezekiah. We all know in the next chapter how that Hezekiah was sick and how that Isaiah was sent by God to tell him. And Isaiah said, God says, Hezekiah, you're going to die. What did Hezekiah do? He got down and he turned his face to the wall and he prayed and he shed tears and he said, Lord, remember how I have walked before thee in truth with a perfect heart and all that I have done. Tells us there that Hezekiah wept sore. This man had power even with God in the place of prayer. Because before Isaiah was able to leave that building, God said to Isaiah, go back and speak to Hezekiah. And 15 years was added even to Hezekiah's life. We all know that how that Hezekiah asked for a sign and how that he asked for the sundial to go back 10 degrees. That was a power that this man had with God to accomplish great things for himself, no, but for God and for his glory and for his honor alone. Why trust tonight that even as we've looked at this man's life, that you would be challenged and encouraged, that we'd seek to overcome compromise, seek to live our lives for God whenever difficulties and problems and trials come, and they will come. Make no mistake, we all know what happens. These things come, that we seek the Lord first and foremost, that we go straight to him. We say, Lord, will you help us? Will you show us exactly how we should deal with this situation? And then we know what it is. Imagine how the people felt when they looked out the next morning and they saw all the soldiers of the Assyrian army dead, lying on the ground. Those people rejoiced. They thanked the Lord for his deliverance. Let's thank the Lord tonight for what he has done for us and for what he will do for us in the future, even in his will.